Proverbs chapter 7. We're going to be looking at several verses throughout this chapter. Let's read 4 through 7 for our text verses tonight. Verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. Okay? So Proverbs 7, 4, 5, 6, and 7 for our text verses tonight. We'll enjoy a song, and then we'll be into the message. And I know we're a little later than usual starting. I've got that into consideration. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Proverbs 7, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. Would you please join me on the odd verses 5 and 7? And our Bible says, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding." Thank you, dear Father, for the privilege to be here in this service this evening, for what our hearts have already experienced so far this night as we've enjoyed a good report from missionaries and about people being saved through the soul-winning binders, and then seeing the footage from the trip to Mexico City and what that meant to us, Lord, to see that. And Lord, thank you for the privilege to sing to you, fellowship with each other. Now bring us to this time of preaching with a receptive heart. May you bless the song, the singers, and the message to follow is my prayer. And Lord, speak to hearts tonight is what I ask you to do. In Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you, BC.
Upon you, led to freedom, the land of the open door. Lord, bless and guide this nation, his faith and hope. Of liberty. God hath led this nation, rich has been our past. He alone can bless us with freedom that will last. Upon you, led to freedom, the land of the old.
For the season, for the day, and God bless you for bringing that for us tonight. I want you to look at verse number 7 we read for the text here. Solomon said, he beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. So I want to speak this evening for a few moments on the subject of a dangerous combination. Notice that he's a simple one. He's void of understanding. That is a dangerous combination. Dear Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight. I pray that you give us a great summer. Protect the young people of this church through these summer months. Protect us, Lord. Keep us from temptation. God, help us to be strong. Help us to resist the devil. We have that promise that he will flee from us. If we'll draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to submit to you so that we can have victory over temptation and sin and the devil all summer long. Lord, not only protect our youth, but protect our adults as well, working out in the world. So much temptation out there now. May we keep principles in mind that will keep us, Lord, right with you. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Solomon took a look out of his window one day, and the Bible says he observed a young man who walked into a trap and got himself in a horrible mess. This young man gave into the advances, if you will, of a seductive woman who lured him into a moral compromise that brought great grief to him. The grief he experienced was 100,000 times greater than the fleeting moments of pleasure he might have enjoyed. And that's always the case. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But the grief that he experienced was a million times greater than those fleeting moments of pleasure. A few minutes of sin, a lifetime to pay for it. Better think about that. Amen? Yes, sir. Now, I want you to notice two distinguishing characteristics about this young man. We don't know a whole lot about him, but we know enough about him to understand why he got in trouble here. Number one, he was simple. I mentioned this on Wednesday night in the message to the parents in regards to kindergarten graduation. The word simple in the book of Proverbs, it does not mean intellectually slow or mentally handicapped. It's an interesting word. The word means to be open. The word means to be roomy. A child has a lot of room in his mind and his heart. He has not narrowed down his belief. And because he hasn't narrowed down his belief, he hasn't narrowed down his behavior, because your behavior is always influenced by your belief. Always is. So he has a lot of room for influence. He has a lot of room to be taught. He has a lot of openness that he needs to be guided and directed. Adults have narrowed down their room. They're not near as roomy. They're not near as open for influence as children are. Adults have narrowed down their path. They've narrowed down their way of thinking. They've narrowed down their beliefs. That's why it's much easier to win a child to Christ than it is to win an adult to Christ. You can talk to an adult, or you can talk to a child about, everybody's a sinner. You've disobeyed God. You've lied to dad. You've lied to mom. You've been selfish. You've gotten in trouble. You're a sinner, and sinners have to pay for their sin by going to hell and being separated from God forever. But Jesus came to die on the cross so you wouldn't have to go to hell, and provided free salvation to all who would receive him as their personal Savior. And the little child says, I want to be saved. The adult says, well, I don't know. I think in my experience, and blah, 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 it's harder to win them. Than it is harder to win the adults. That's why Jesus said, you must become as a child, except you become like little children. He didn't say an adult has to become a child. He's got to become like one in his faith and in his trust. And so here's what he said. This is what he's saying. So a child has a lot of openness. A child has a lot of room in which to be influenced and taught. That's a wonderful thing. The negative side of that is, that child has a lot of room in which to be deceived. Got a lot of room in which to be influenced. So he can be easily deceived. It's a little easier to trick a child than it is to trick an adult. Okay? So we know that he was simple. He was open. He was roomy. Easily influenced. Number two, we know that he was a young man. The Bible says void of understanding. Now, you know that there are several different Hebrew words in the Old Testament, same thing with Greek words in the New Testament, that can be translated in different English words, and such is the case with the English word understanding. Here, the word does not mean knowledge as much as it means heart. This is a word that, like you and I would say when we say, you know, that kid has heart. I mean, that child has courage. That child has fortitude. That child has courage. He's got a lot of in him, okay? That's what the word is here. That kid has heart. So this young man, the Bible says, was void of heart. Void of courage. Void of moral fortitude. So this young man had a dangerous combination. He had a lot of room for influence and a lack of moral fortitude. Folks, if that kind of young person gets around the wrong people, trouble is around the corner. You with me tonight? Trouble's around the corner. Now, how many kids fall into this same dangerous combination? How many of our kids? How many of the kids in my family? How many of the kids in your family? How many of the kids in our church fall into this same dangerous combination? You know, parents, we must understand that this combination is very possible in any of our children. Some children just have a little bit more, for lack of a better word, guts about them than others do. But I'm going to tell you what, even if my child has guts and moral fortitude, I still wouldn't want to take the gamble with all that openness for influence of putting them in a bad situation, letting them get into a bad situation. So we've got to take the initiative. Parents, we have to take the initiative to help protect our kids from ending up in this bad situation, the situation this young man ended up with. He was a simple man. He had a lot of room for influence, and he was lacking moral fortitude. It is summertime. School is out. This is a time, parents, for us to be on our toes with our children. When they get out of that school schedule, boy, it's dangerous. And especially if mom and dad are both working, there's no adult in the home, you're depending on older kids to kind of play dad and play mom, and you've got to be careful about doing that too often. You'll ruin a child. Throwing too much responsibility on them day after day after day after day, not fulfilling our own responsibility, making them the parent by proxy. It's not good. No, they ought to have responsibility. They ought to be able to do things and help with the younger siblings. But I'm telling you, friend, I'm still the dad, she's still the mom, and so are you. Not the older brothers and sisters. Now, a young person without a cautious and concerned and active parent is at a decided disadvantage. Decided disadvantage. So parents, here are some things to remember concerning the dangerous combination. You say, well, I don't know if my child has it or not. Just assume that they have the dangerous combination. If they're 8 and if they're 10 and if they're 11, don't throw them into the den of lions to see if they have this dangerous combination or not. Work to teach them. Work to influence them. Work to build their moral fortitude. But in the meantime, avoid some things that are absolutely in front of your nose that will help keep your kids from disaster like this young man got into. Here they are, quickly, 7 of them tonight. Number 1, avoid places of temptation. Avoid places of temptation. Look at verse number 8. Here's what this young man did. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. Can I tell you, friend, that's a bad place. That's a place of temptation. This young man, having the dangerous combination of openness and room for influence and lacking moral fortitude, he had no business being in this place. This was a horrible place of temptation. And there are places of temptation that young people should avoid. Mom and dad should see to it. Malls. Video arcades. Teenage hangouts. Just being allowed to go with other teenagers to just hang out in cars and ride around and just do nothing but hang out. Going to friends' houses in the afternoon where there are no adults at home. Those are places of temptation. They should be avoided at all costs. Your kids should stay away from that. And if you're concerned about keeping them out of trouble, you'll be concerned about helping them avoid these places of temptation. Safe places. for the young people. Safe places are home. Safe places are well-chaperoned and organized youth activities with Brother Mankowski. Safe places are outings with plenty of adult chaperones. How many young people, easily influenced and with no moral courage, have gone down the way and paid the price because of it? So if you want to help your kids this summer, help them avoid places of temptation. This young man had a dangerous combination, and he was in the place of temptation. Number two, not only avoid the place of temptation, avoid the time of temptation. Look at verse number 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Do you see those words? Twilight, evening, black, dark night. Young people out at those times of the night will be in trouble in a real hurry. Folks, there is a reason why more crimes are committed at night than during the day. More trouble, more sin at nighttime than in broad daylight. Allowing a teenager to go out with other young people unchaperoned at night just to hang out or visit the mall at night or visit the teenage arcade at night or go down somewhere at night, the parking lot, to hang out with young people at night? You need to have your head examined. You say, well, my kids will get mad if I don't let them go. Won't be the first time. Won't be the last time. Let them get mad. If they're full of vinegar, send them out to mow the lawn. Just do something. Just let them work it out. Avoid times of temptation. The times of temptation. Kids need to be in a safe place at night. And by the way, let me say this. Children, including teenagers, should not be allowed to set their own bedtime. Well, Mason, what's your bedtime? Oh, whenever I go to bed. Whenever? You're just allowed to stay up. But if it's 11:30 or midnight or 12:30 or 1 o'clock or 1, whenever. Parent, get involved in your kids' lives. Avoid places of temptation. Avoid times of temptation. Let me say number three tonight, if you're going to help protect your kids this summer. Number three, avoid those who dress immodestly. Look at verse number 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Do you understand, folks, that dress speaks? Dress says something. That's why I've been on a little bit of a kick. I know that. And I haven't heard any feedback. If there has been any feedback, it's been under the cover, just been maybe grumbling behind the back. But I've been on a little kick, and I'll admit it, about dressing up for church, because I think it says something. Our dress says something. It says this is church. Man, this is a nice place. This is a holy place. It's a special place. I'm telling you, folks, I'll say it again. Our independent Baptist churches are right now where the Southern Baptists were 7 and 8 years ago. And the Southern Baptists are wearing shorts to church now, men and women both. And flip-flops and all that nonsense, that's crazy. The church house is a more important place than that. I don't see any sand here. There's a little bit of water back here. Lake Baptistry back there, amen. We always went to summer for the, we always went to Florida for summer vacation when I was a boy, except for 1 year we went to Tennessee, you know, and we always had those flip flops. We called them flip flops, all kind of names over the years, but we were going to go down to the sand. I don't see anything here like that. This church, dress up. The dress says something, and there is a dress that says, I'm available. Talk to me. There's a dress that says that. Now, parents, it is incumbent upon us to teach our kids what that dress is. Teach your boys what kind of female dress says, I'm available. Teach them. Well, they're hearing it. Teach your own kids not to dress in that manner, not to run with those who dress in that manner. And when they get around young people who dress in that manner, to be very cautious and even avoid it completely, if at all possible, and by all means avoid being with for extended period of time those who dress immodestly. The truth of the matter is, young people, if you dress in the manner that says I'm available, there is more wrong with you than your dress. There's something wrong in your heart. Bad wrong. The truth of the matter is, I don't believe that the clothing on the body ever has a problem if the clothing of the heart is what it ought to be. I think S.M. Davis even preached a message on that years and years ago. He talked about let your hearts be clothed with humility. Isn't that interesting? Your heart's clothed with humility. You want to avoid the kind of dress that says, I'm available. Now, boys, I'm talking about you too. And parents, we got to be careful. All these new styles, some of these low hip hugger jeans on the boys now. It's ungodly. More than once, I've rolled my window down in Kankakee, hollered out the window, pull your pants up! It's ridiculous. It's ungodly. It's not just culture. It's sin. It's wrong. And while we're on the subject of dress, amen, it is summertime. Keep your body covered. That's biblical. Biblical modesty means that my shoulders, from my shoulders to my knees, are covered. Anything less than that is biblical nakedness. As talked about in the Old Testament. You say, well, that's Old Testament. That was nailed to the cross. You don't understand what was nailed to the cross. What was nailed to the cross, folks, was the fact that we didn't have to bring a bullock or a lamb this morning to church and slit its throat and catch the blood and burn its body on the altar. What's nailed to the cross is the feast days, the holy days. What's nailed to the cross is we could eat catfish. Amen. And enjoy a pork chop. And a ham. And turnip greens. Amen. Come on now. Yeah, soul to soul. Amen. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what's nailed to the cross. God didn't change. Where in the world? You're going to have to talk 100,000 miles a minute for the rest of your life to try to convince me that God's morals changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That didn't change. God's morals didn't change. He said, when you expose anything, you're to be covered, to not be naked, you've got to be covered from your shoulders to your knees. You've got to, and by the way, why walk the tightrope? Why just find out how close you can be? Huh? Ladies, if you're standing up with a dress to your knee, when you're sitting down, that means you're exposed. I mean, Independent Baptist Church, look around. Here's 2 or 3 inches of thigh over here, a couple inches of thigh. Here's an inch of thigh. What are we doing? It's not right. Cover up. Cover up. Go the extra mile. Sleeveless things scare me. It's walking the tightrope. Don't be that person who wants to find how close you can get and still be modest. Just decide, you know, to go the extra little bit to be sure that my body is modest and nothing about my dress is saying I'm available. Fellas, you follow after that kind of girl. If you go after the other kind, saying she's available to you, she'll be available to somebody else down the road. So cover yourselves. This is what this young man did. Hey, I don't care who you are. I don't have to be a teenage man, an adult man. You put the right combination there. You put a little room for influence and a lack of moral fortitude around somebody who's not dressed properly. You got problems. If you don't have problems outwardly, you got problems here. So avoid those who dress immodestly. This man, a dangerous combination. He had a lot of room for influence. He had a lot of openness. And he had no moral fortitude. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time around a woman who was dressed immodestly. And it got him. That's not all. Number four. Avoid those who cannot keep their hands to themselves. Look at verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him. You know, there is a reason why God said it is good for a man not to touch a woman. There's a reason for that. A touch leads to more involvement than what is right between a man and a woman. I've told the story here several times. I haven't told it in a long time, about a very successful businessman. And he employed some folks in the church where he attended church, and he employed the assistant pastor's wife just to kind of help the assistant pastor with a little extra cash. And she would clean the offices and come in just a couple days a week and clean the offices. And most of the time he was not in the office when she cleaned, you know, but on this occasion she was. I mean, a married woman with five children. And she went to empty his trash can. And he remembered he had thrown something in the trash can that he wanted to save, and he reached down for it to grab the piece of paper out of the trash can about the same time she reached for the trash can to get it and empty it. And their hands touched, and they lingered there for just a few seconds. He eventually became involved with her. Disaster in the church. And told the preacher. Said it all started that day in the office when she went to empty the trash can. That's where the sparks flew. You want to avoid those who cannot keep their hands to themselves. That's what you teach your children. This is a dangerous combination. A young person with a lot of room for influence and a lot of openness and lack of moral fortitude, and they get around somebody who, and brush and touch and all that business. And I'm going to tell you something, sparks do fly. Yes, amen, sparks do fly, that's right. So you have to avoid that. Number five, I'm just going right down through the list here, look at it. Avoid those who talk suggestively. Look at verse 16. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. When she started talking about the bedroom, he should have hit the road. And married man, when the lady in the office starts complaining about what she's not experiencing at home, it's time to hit the road. Or you're going to counsel her and help her. When they start that kind of nonsense, it's Katie bar the door. Out of here. Gone. You never, ever, on the phone to your friend, you never, ever discuss your intimate life. Ever. It's not proper. That's holy. That's sanctified. That's special. If you need help, go to the proper source. Go to the proper authority. But don't just blab around about your intimate life, or the problems, or the experiences, the joys, and the tragedies, whatever you want to. Don't be talking about that kind of stuff. And you young men, you young ladies, you get around young people who start talking suggestively about this and about that. And did you see, you know, so and so, do you know what they did the other night? That's what she did. She started speaking suggestively to the man. When you got a youth who's got a lot of room for influence and lacks moral courage, lacks moral fortitude, that's a dangerous combination. Time to get out of Dodge. Avoid those who talk suggestively. Let me say this. Avoid those, number six, avoid those who associate sin with love. Look at verse number 18. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. Hey, let me tell you, what she was talking about had nothing to do with love. Nothing to do with love. And whenever a boy or a girl, whenever anybody in the group starts talking about this kind of thing and starts using the word love with it, you mark it down, young man. Mark it down, young lady. It has absolutely nothing to do with love. It has everything to do with lust and passion. animals. Same kind of behavior. So you avoid those who associate sin with love. If you love me, we would. If you really love me, you would. No. If you really love her, if you really love him, you'll wait till you walk to a marriage altar someday and stand there with family and friends and preacher and church members and take vows of marriage and then go out and enjoy the blessings of marriage. That's love. So you avoid those who associate sin with love. If it's not in line with the Word of God, friend, it's not love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love rejoiceth not in iniquity. Last time I checked, adultery, any kind of moral behavior like that, any kind of thing outside the bonds of marriage is sin. Last time I checked. So if it's not in line with the Word of God, it's not love, it's lust, it's sin. You avoid it. I have eight of these. I thought seven. Number seven, let me give you two more. Avoid those who go behind the back of authority. Look at what she said in verses 19 and 20. For the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. She's going behind the back of her husband or whoever this man was. Are you sneaking around with somebody behind the back of your parents? Or are you close to someone or getting close to someone who is encouraging you to sneak around behind the backs of your mom, your dad? You better avoid that. And parents, it's incumbent upon us to teach our kids to avoid it. The first time they say, you can't tell your dad this, that's it, it's over, done. No, don't tell me. I tell my dad everything. I tell my mom everything. That's old fashioned. That's not fun. That's safe. To keep you out of trouble like this guy ended up in. Avoid those who go behind the back of authority. Let me give you number eight. Look at verse number 21. Avoid those who use flattery. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. That flattery. What's the matter? You're just the only one who understands me. But you just, nobody, I can't talk to anybody like I can talk to you. Oh. Isn't that precious? You know what that does to a young man? Mano. That's a bunch of poppycock. The last boy she was with, she talked to, told the same thing to him. The last girl he was, he told the same thing to her.
My dad doesn't understand me. My mom doesn't understand me. You're the only one who really understands me.
She's a half a bubble off center. So that's good. Okay. That's a blessing. That's the kind of talk that goes on, though. Am I right? That's the kind of things that are said. So you avoid those who use flattery. Now look at the very end of the chapter. Look at verse number 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Ooh. Ooh. You ever seen that? Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks till a dart strike through his liver. Isn't that interesting? You know that when you hunt, a liver shot is a mortal shot. You hit the liver, you kill him. This young man was mortally wounded. As a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Avoid the place of temptation. Go not astray in her paths. Why? For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Doesn't that sound like fun? Now, young person, listen. I have no idea what kids in this church fall into having the same dangerous combination this young man had. A kid who has a lot of room for influence and little or no moral fortitude. You know what? The best thing for you to do, young person, is just stay out of the way of trouble. Just stay out of the way. Draw close to your dad and mom. Draw close to the folks here at the church who love you and help you. Walk in the path that they've laid out for you and be safe and have a happy life. Amen. And parents, if we'll help our kids avoid these eight things, we'll go a long ways to helping them have a happy life. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. My dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll protect the young people of this church. Lord, I know that Satan walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he would love to destroy the testimony, the innocency of so many in this room. Help us, dear Lord, help us as parents and adults to do our best to teach our children about avoiding these errors. Lord, it's a dangerous combination, influential and no moral courage. And if they go to the wrong place at the wrong time, around the wrong person, they will get hurt. Protect the young people of this church this summer and beyond. Protect all of us, Lord. May moral purity be our goal for every life. In Jesus' name is my prayer made. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody here tonight, Brother Angel, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand tonight if you're not saved? Let me pray for you. Anybody left to right, front to back? Anybody? I've been saved but not baptized and need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Pray for me. Anybody like that here tonight? Saved but not baptized. All right. Pastor, when you were speaking tonight, one of the points, two of the points, more of the points, doesn't matter, at any point during the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I do not want to see my children involved in that kind of disaster, and I don't want to be, as a young person, I don't want to be involved in that. And this message spoke to my heart this morning, this evening. Would you lift a hand, please, all over the room? Would you do that honestly? God bless you. Thank you. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's have a good summer. Let's protect our kids. Let's work hard to protect ourselves. Lady, play us a song of invitation. Would you step out tonight? Would you come? A dangerous, dangerous combination of openness and influence and lack of moral courage. Wise young people, wise parents will avoid the eight things we mentioned tonight. All of them found right there in the Word of God. Would you come this evening? Raise the hand, would you deal with it for just a moment? Let yourselves afresh and anew to a life of purity, moral rightness. Still praying, would you come?